this is Roy Lilly. Well, I think you know by now, I do have a bit of a predilection for unusual words, or words that just sound, I don't know, nice. And I know from my inbox, I'm among fellow logophiles. Today, there's a word that's just aching to be used. It's banging on the screen. Use me, it's saying. Perhaps it's not that unusual, to be honest, but it does have a nice sound to it. And I think it's a bit different in that it can be categorized under orthographically irregular. And that means it's pronounced differently to its spelling. The word superfluous, if you just read it as it's on the page, you think it's superfluous, but it's not. It's superfluous, exceeding what is sufficient or necessary. Examples, well, excessive packaging materials, most kitchen gadgets, I think, expensive bottled water, and closer to home, the NHS Constitution. Do you know what's in it? Well, there are seven things, so let me help you. The NHS provides a comprehensive service available to all. Access is based on clinical need, not ability to pay. Aspires to the highest standards of excellence and professionalism. The patient will be at the heart of everything. Works across organisational boundaries. Is committed to providing best value for taxpayers' money and is accountable to the public, communities and the patients it serves. Well, all of that is superfluous because the NHS Act 1946 enshrines equity of access to the NHS based on need and not ability to pay. Excellence and professionalism is the purview of regulators who demand that of their registrants. In fact, the NHS has to wait for regulators to get rid of poor performers. Patients have very little say in anything and are often faced with impossibly complex choices and resort to, well, what would you do, doc? The NHS cannot work across organisational boundaries because of tariff limitations, and working with social care using the Better Care Fund is very limited. Best value is part of trusts' fiduciary obligations in the NHS and Community Care Act 1999, and unlike local authorities, the NHS is not accountable in any way to the public, and NHS England is only accountable to Parliament. Now, you can add to all this a load more palaver about principles, values, rights and pledges, which seem to me to be equally superfluous. The Constitution is what is called a declaratory document, in plain English, codifying what's already out there someplace. Under the NHS, under the Health Act 2009, it's not the NHS Health Act, it's called actually the Health Act 2009, the Constitution applies across the NHS and has to be reviewed every 10 years. It's being reviewed now, and the upshot of this review will be published in 2024. Well, do the maths. Every 10 years from 2009, so 10 on to 2009 gives us 2019, and 2019 plus 10 years actually takes us to 2029. So why now? Come on, wake up. There's an election coming, and looking busy is very important. The document was messed about with in 2013, adding patient involvement, feedback, candor, end-of-life care, integrated care, complaints, patient information, staff, rights, responsibilities and commitments, dignity, respect and compassion. Yes. And again, in 2015, creating a more patient-centred NHS, notwithstanding what was in the one that was only done 2 years previously, clarifying that patients have a right to a safe and high-quality care, clarifying that staff have a duty to help, inserting the expectation that staff will follow guidance and comply with standards, reflecting the establishment of fundamental standard patient rights, reflecting the introduction of a more compelling statutory duty of candor. You know, it's just more and more stuff. In addition to the Francis report changes, there were further changes which highlighted the importance of transparency and accountability, gave greater prominence to mental health services, and made reference to the Armed Forces Covenant. Now, I can't think of anything much that changed. Now, this pre-election wheeze plans to add more compost to the pile of the obvious. Single rooms for transgender patients, good, but enough beds for everyone rather than corridors might be a better start. Reducing disparities in access, experience and outcomes for all. Well, that's great. So create more front doors and more staff behind them and the NHS will do it. A greener NHS? Well, you know, while prioritising value for money, the conflicts are obvious. Make patients keep appointments is another one on the list. I don't know how. Tasers, nets, kidnap, bribes, I've no idea. Research is to be integrated into care. Well, I think it already is. Leadership is to provide good workplace culture. Well, we could try a no-blame culture instead, I think. There's a right to a second opinion, and there always has been, and referencing unpaid carers, well, paying them might be better than referencing them. There are other technical changes, and I linked to the whole lot in this morning's e-letter. Yep, you're right, superfluous. If we have to declare anything, couldn't we just try? The NHS is free at the point of access to everyone. The people working in it will be cherished, supported and well organised to provide the best personal and respectful care they can within their skills, knowledge and resources. Now that works for me, but you can forget the pages of WebGuff. That's just 39 words. Thanks for listening. This has been Roy Lilly and I hope to speak again soon. Bye now.